Listener advisory. Before we begin, please note that this episode discusses the disappearance of a real person. While we do not include graphic details, topics such as violence, abuse, mental health, or other sensitive issues may be mentioned as part of telling their story. Please take care while listening, and if you need to, feel free to pause or come back whenever you're ready. If you have any information about any missing person, no matter how small or insignificant it may seem, please contact your local law enforcement agency or your local Crime Stoppers organization. Even the smallest detail could help bring answers to a family that has been searching for a loved one. Thank you for listening and for helping us keep their stories alive. At age 21, Matthew Weaver Jr. had his whole life ahead of him. He was at the age where he was making future plans, which included things like traveling and exploring the world. And he was at the age where he was figuring out his career path. He had been working with his father at a company that repaired or worked on telephone power lines. Now, making his own money, Matthew was finally able to get his own apartment and live on his own, learning how to be an adult, how to take care of himself, and to do his own thing. Although he remained very close still to his siblings and his family. On Thursday, August 9th, Matthew drove to his dad's house that afternoon. He spoke to his dad briefly, told him he was going to go meet a new girl he had just met, and then he drove off and left. Matthew did drive off that afternoon, and he did meet up with his new friend, Melissa. They spent the entire evening out together, driving around and just hanging out. Matthew dropped her off just after 5 o'clock in the morning, and she believed that he was going home, but he didn't. Hours later, a group of hikers out in the Santa Monica Mountains thought they heard a scream, and they called 911. Search and rescue came out to the area, and they would eventually discover an abandoned BMW, almost hanging off the side of a cliff, certainly not any place where a car should be. Authorities ran the plates and determined that the car belonged to Matthew Weaver Sr. They drove to his house to inquire and learned that the car was actually being driven by Matthew Weaver Jr. It was then that everyone realized Matthew Jr. was missing. Calls to his phone went unanswered, and friends and family, all now making calls to everyone they knew, turned up no sign of Matthew. Matthew Weaver Jr. has not been seen or heard from since, although the myriad of cell phone clues and pings and even some law enforcement controversy has many people questioning what really happened to Matthew out there. This is the story of Matthew Weaver Jr. Matthew Weaver Jr. was born on April 2nd, 1997, near Simi Valley, California. He had an older sister waiting for him, and pretty soon the two children were being raised solely by their father. That would not last long, however. When he was just 2 years old, his stepmother came into his life, and together they became a family. Pretty soon, more siblings would join them as well. Now, they were all a very close-knit family. Matthew was known to be the laughing and the joking one, always having fun, being silly. He was also the sensitive and helpful one in the family. No matter who needed help, his father, his stepmom, or one of his siblings, Matthew would always step in and help. Matthew was also an animal lover, especially dogs. Now, he had some other hobbies, too, even at a very young age. He became interested in cars, all things cars and car-related. And when he was of age to get his license, he loved driving. He was known to just enjoy drives through the nearby Santa Monica Mountains and the canyons and drive around Malibu and just take in the scenery of the area. And I can understand why. The scenic views there are absolutely stunning. And with all this beautiful scenery around him, Matthew also became an avid photographer, often pulling off the side of the highway to take photos whenever he came upon what he thought was a beautiful spot. After high school, Matthew wasn't quite sure what he wanted to do. Besides his usual hobbies, he did know that he eventually wanted to travel a bit, but beyond that, he just wasn't sure. And that's all pretty normal and typical for a new high school graduate. Now, he would eventually get a job with his father working for a telephone company as a lineman, and he was able to get his own apartment in Granada Hills, California. But not everything was going that well. Matthew was feeling a little lost and soon began hanging out with some new friends, friends that his family wasn't exactly sure about. Matthew was 21 now. He was living on his own, and although his family saw him and spoke to him daily, they couldn't know everything and everyone that was in his life. By most accounts, Matthew was a normal 21-year-old, finding his way in the world. He was living an adult life, paying bills, enjoying his dog, Shadow, who literally almost went everywhere with him, and driving his beloved silver BMW through the canyons and the winding mountain roads. The disappearance. August 9th, 2018 was a Thursday, and Matthew had plans. He drove over to his parents' house that afternoon and spent a little bit of time with his dad. He told his dad about a new girl he had met, a new friend named Melissa, and said he was going to spend the evening with her. Matthew had also recently broke up with his longtime girlfriend, and his parents had realized that they didn't know a lot of his new friends. Around 9:30 p.m., Matthew arrived to pick up Melissa as planned. Now, Melissa would later say how they hung out all night long, just driving around or sitting parked somewhere and doing drugs. It would be reported by people later that they were doing cocaine and smoking marijuana. Now, this information has been reported by friends, however, and is not verified within any police records. Matthew took Melissa home around 5 o'clock in the morning, and Melissa said that from there she figured he was heading home, but he didn't. Around 8 o'clock a.m., Matthew called his dad, but his dad either missed the call or the call didn't go through. Cell phone service is spotty in the Santa Monica Mountains, and it's possible that the call just didn't connect. But the next day, authorities showed up at Matthew Sr.'s house. They asked him if he owned a silver BMW, and Matthew Sr. replied that it was actually his son's car. In the early morning hours of August 11th, 2018, just after 1 o'clock in the morning, law enforcement received a 911 call. Some people exploring around in the Roses Overlook area of the Santa Monica Mountains, which is right above the Backbone Trail in Hondo Canyon, heard what they thought were screams, and they thought they heard both a male and a female's voice screaming. So search and rescue teams were deployed right away. Now, the tricky part is that this is an area full of mountains and canyons, and sound bounces and echoes in strange ways. So determining where the screams exactly came from would be difficult. So searchers came out to look, see what they could find, and they didn't find anybody. But they would soon come across an abandoned car, a silver BMW registered to Matthew Weaver. The car was lodged in a part of the trail in which no car should ever be. In fact, it was almost hanging off of the trail, almost off the side of a cliff. So investigators were perplexed at how the car would have even gotten there in the first place. And of course, who put it there and why? Now, there would be no sign of Matthew or anyone else for that matter anywhere near or around the car. Now, Matthew's dad had no idea why this car would have been found there, so of course he right away starts trying to reach his son. But all attempts to reach him were unsuccessful. And with each failed try to call or text Matthew, he became more and more worried. Family and friends all began to try and track down Matthew now, but no one could, and it didn't seem that anyone had heard from him in several hours. Matthew Weaver Jr. had disappeared. The Search and Investigation. In the beginning, it would be Lost Hills Sheriff Department and Malibu Search and Rescue teams that came out searching for Matthew. It was very possible that somebody was out there, somebody needed help, they might be injured, or they might be stuck somewhere unable to get out, and there was just no explanation for why people might be screaming unless they did need help. Now, the terrain in that area is mountainous. It's rocky and it's very rugged. Helicopters were soon brought out and search and rescue canines as well to see if they could locate or follow Matthew's scent. Now, according to the family's timeline, Lost Hills and Malibu Search and Rescue initially told them that search dogs lost Matthew's scent at a paved road near Stunt and Schwerin Roads. Now, this is right in the area near where his car was found and in the vicinity of where the other hikers reportedly thought they had heard screams. But the family says that they were actually given a different account on the day that it happened. They were told that the scent was lost approximately 100 yards away from the road. Now, does that discrepancy really matter? Maybe. A scent ending in a roadway could suggest that Matthew got into another vehicle. If the dogs were able to track Matthew down to a road and then from there the scent was completely lost, maybe he hopped into another car. Although, of course, that isn't the only explanation. But if the dogs had lost the scent out in the terrain, out into the ruggedness, or down a trail, that certainly has different implications. Now, with physical searches turning up no sign of Matthew, the authorities and his family, and probably mostly his family, decided to investigate his phone records and kind of put together a timeline of events. After Matthew dropped off Melissa at 5 a.m., the early morning hours of August 10th, his phone would ping along several different roads. At 5:15 a.m., he was believed to be on Mulholland Highway. At 5:35 a.m., it's believed that he turned onto Stunt Road. Now, between 5:45 and 6:24 a.m., the car travels around Saddle Peak Road and Schwerin Road. 6:24 to 6:57 a.m., Snapchat activity shows that he was in the area of Stunt Road and Saddle Peak Road, the parking area specifically near a trailhead. Now, there was also some surveillance video of his car that was uncovered during these early morning hours. Around 7:15 a.m., surveillance captures his BMW on Topanga Tower Motorway, heading toward the Roses Overlook, the same area where his car would be found later, an area that he seemed to be staying in or driving around this entire morning. So he had dropped Melissa off and then was just driving around these mountain roads for hours. Now, despite this surveillance video, which it is confirmed to be Matthew's BMW, authorities have said they cannot confirm who was in the car or who was even driving the car. But the real odd thing about this sighting is, and about Matthew being on this Topanga Tower Motorway Road, is that this stretch of road he was on is only accessible through a locked gate, with only city employees supposed to having access to unlock this gate and get through. There's apparently a radio tower at the end of this road, and the gate is kept locked. So how did Matthew's car get through this gate? That is something that many people have questioned right from the beginning. However, eventually, a YouTuber by the name of Immortal Investigations did a three-part series investigating Matthew's disappearance, and he actually drove to this gate to check it out. And while it appeared locked, there was actually several locked padlocks on this gate. When he actually looked at it and tried to open it, the gate swung right open. There were padlocks, but they weren't actually locking the gate. And authorities have never confirmed how they found the gate that day when they arrived to search that area. Now, just after 8 a.m. is when Matthew tried to call his dad, but it's really unclear if either his dad missed the call completely or if the poor cell service connection prevented it from going through. Now, later that morning, Matthew sent what appeared to be his final known text messages to his friend Melissa. Between 11:48 and 11:55 a.m., Matthew reaches out trying to get a hold of Melissa. First, he tries calling her, but she didn't answer. So she texted him back and said that she was at work and asked what was going on. Matthew would then send two garbled text messages saying something to the effect of, quote, like some crazy sh is going on. I just to talk while I have the chance, end quote. Now, what makes these really especially unsettling is the timing of them. By now, Matthew had apparently been in the Roses Overlook and this Topanga Tower motorway for several hours. Melissa would respond to these text messages between 1 and 4 p.m., but she never received any additional responses from Matthew. So technically, Matthew goes MIA after his text to Melissa, which was just before noon on Friday, August 10th, 2018. Now, there's a lot of unanswered questions here. What led Matthew to this off-the-beaten-path location? And Matthew, who is a car lover, with his BMW being one of his most prized possessions, would never have driven his car in this dangerous terrain. There's cliffs, there's rocks, there's brush everywhere. Everyone who knew Matthew said there's absolutely no way he was going to take his prized silver BMW off-roading. At least, he never would have if he was in his right mind. So, was he? Or was something else happening to him? And what was happening with those possible screams that the hikers heard? Were they possibly Matthew? Was there someone else with him? Now, Matthew's family would fight hard for help from the authorities for the next several months, but they didn't feel that they were being heard or being taken very seriously. Authorities weren't sharing any information with them, and it seemed that they were kind of on their own while searching for their son, their brother. So they initiated many of their own search efforts and ultimately would find some troubling items in the months after Matthew's disappearance. In January of 2019, just about 25 feet from where the BMW had been, someone found Matthew's BMW car keys. Now, they weren't too far from where the car had been, 25 feet. Why hadn't they been found earlier? How thorough had that area actually been searched? Months later, they would also find a red Angels baseball cap. Matthew's family believed this to be Matthew's baseball cap. And it would be Matthew's father who would find a torn and shredded white t-shirt, believed to have blood on it, and his dad believed that was Matthew's shirt. Now, it was never confirmed forensically or by authorities or law enforcement that this shirt and this cap did belong to Matthew, but his family sure thinks so. So were these items just overlooked? Had they been obscured? Maybe they had been moved around by the weather or animals, or had they been put there later? The fact that they weren't found in August when Matthew initially went missing and the first searches happened doesn't necessarily mean that they weren't there, but it is an important unresolved detail in Matthew's case. The Malibu Creek Shootings. Now, another big issue in Matthew's case is that shortly before he disappeared, there had already been a disturbing series of shootings in and around Malibu Creek State Park and within the Santa Monica Mountains. On June 22nd, 2018, just about 7 weeks before Matthew disappeared, Tristan Boudet was shot and killed while sleeping in a tent with his two young daughters at Malibu Creek State Park. Now, it would become public that there had been multiple earlier shooting incidences in that same area, some involving people being shot at while camping or sleeping outdoors. Now, the controversy here is that the public apparently had not been warned about the pattern of shootings. It had really been kept under the radar. And there would be an extraordinary development afterward. Former Los Angeles Sheriff Department Lieutenant James Royal had served as the Malibu liaison, and he alleged that the supervisors at the Malibu and Lost Hills Sheriff Station and higher levels of the Sheriff Department would prevent or discourage warnings to the public about the shootings. They didn't want to scare people away. They didn't want to cause panic, and they didn't want to lose any tourism, I'm sure. Now, according to a claim he filed against the department, officials essentially treated the shootings as a state parks problem rather than issuing a broader public safety warning. That allegation became particularly serious because people would continue going out there and camping in that area without even knowing about all these previous shootings, and many of them bringing their children and families with them, including Baudette. Now, Baudette's widow subsequently also filed a claim against Los Angeles County and the state, alleging that authorities knew about all these earlier shootings but failed to adequately warn visitors, stating, "Certainly, her husband would never have taken his children out and gone camping had there been a shooter on the loose." And then, a couple of months later, Matthew Weaver Jr. disappears in that same general area. Matthew disappeared on August 10th, 2018. This is less than 2 months after Baudette's killing in the same Santa Monica Mountains. A month later, after Matthew went missing, and now a few months after Baudette was shot and killed, authorities did arrest Anthony Rauda, a man who had apparently been living in the wilderness off the grid in those same mountains. He was charged with Baudette's murder, and he would actually go on to be charged in numerous other shootings in that area. In 2023, he would be convicted of Baudette's second-degree murder. He would be convicted of 3 attempted murders, and he would also be convicted of 5 burglaries. But he was acquitted of 7 other attempted murder charges. With all of these charges, many believe that he is guilty of many other unsolved crimes in the area as well. And he was known to be living off the grid in that same general area that Matthew Weaver Jr. went missing. Matrice Richardson and Elaine Park. Now, while Matthew's family is out there continuing to search for answers, they're doing their own physical searches, they're doing their own investigations, they're trying to get information released to them from the sheriff department, and they're being stonewalled. So they begin looking beyond Matthew's case alone. And there were 2 other cases connected to the Malibu and Santa Monica Mountains area that kind of made Matthew's family look twice: the disappearance of Elaine Park and the disappearance and death of Matrice Richardson. Now, the 3 cases were never, and they're not, officially connected. They're not considered related per se. They occurred years apart, and they were investigated, technically, by different law enforcement agencies. But there were similarities that caught the attention of each of these families, and each of these families would get together and discuss this. All 3 involved people who disappeared in the greater Malibu and Santa Monica Mountains area. And in one way or another, the LA County Sheriff's Department, Malibu Lost Hills Station, or any of their associated search and rescue personnel would become involved in each case. Now, Matrice Richardson disappeared in September of 2009. She had been arrested in Malibu and taken to the Lost Hills Sheriff's Station. Now, despite concerns about her behavior and her well-being that night, she was released from the station shortly after midnight without her car, without her phone, without her purse. She disappeared after leaving the police station on foot. Her remains were discovered in a remote area of Dark Canyon approximately 11 months later. Her death remains officially undetermined. Then, in January of 2017, 20-year-old Elaine Park disappeared after leaving her boyfriend's home in Calabasas. Several days later, her car was found near the beach in Malibu. Elaine was nowhere to be found and is still missing. And then, in August of 2018, Matthew Weaver Jr. disappears in the Santa Monica Mountains also. Now, again, there's no established connection at all between Matrice, Elaine, and Matthew. There's no evidence they were the victims of a crime committed by the same person or that their cases have any direct connections. But their families believed that there were enough similarities and enough unanswered questions to justify having someone take a fresh look at all 3. So in April of 2021, representatives of the Richardson, Park, and Weaver families approached the Los Angeles County Sheriff. They asked the Sheriff's Department to conduct what would be described as a lateral investigation into all three cases. So essentially, they wanted the Sheriff's Department investigators to independently review the evidence and circumstances surrounding each case, rather than relying on the conclusions of the agencies already responsible for them. So the problem here is jurisdiction. Each case was under the jurisdiction of a different department. Matthew Weaver's was primarily assigned to the Los Angeles Police Department. Elaine Park's would be investigated by the Glendale Police Department, where she lived, and the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department had already been deeply involved in investigating the Matrice Richardson case. Lost Hills was the station that arrested and released her before she disappeared. But from the family's perspective, jurisdiction is really only part of the problem. Each different agency was conducting their own investigations, and they each possessed different pieces of information. All three cases had connections to the same general region. The family wanted someone to look at all three cases together. Maybe there were clues within one that could help them with another. Now, again, they didn't necessarily believe that their cases were connected or related, but they felt that there might be clues or helpful tidbits of information kind of hidden within each case file that might help the other case, such as a clue that had maybe turned up in one case that could maybe be connected to someone else. All they were asking for was for one department to review the three cases together and see if there could be any leads or connections or tips kind of hidden within. 5 days after submitting their request, it was denied. Matrice's remains had been recovered, but exactly what happened to her after she left the police station that night remain unclear. Elaine Park is still missing. And Matthew Weaver Jr. remains missing as well. Santa Monica Mountains. Now, the area where Matthew is believed to have disappeared is a very specific area, and I've mentioned several different overlooks and road names, and if you're not from the area, it can be a little bit confusing, but it is one general cluster of areas known as the Santa Monica Mountains. Now, this is an area too where Matthew lived and grew up and was very familiar with the area. He spent so much time driving around these roads by himself and with friends and with family. He knew the different overlooks. He knew the different trails. He loved photography. He loved going out there and looking for spots to photograph. And so this is an area that was quite familiar to him. And even though this is a rugged and very remote area, he's really only a relatively short drive from one of the largest metropolitan areas in the country, Los Angeles, which makes this area in which he vanished even more unique. Now, Matthew's silver BMW was found on Topanga Tower Motorway. This is near Rose's Overlook, very high in the Santa Monica Mountains, just north of Malibu. This area is among a network of ridges, canyons, hiking trails, and winding mountain roads, overlooking the whole Los Angeles basin and even the Pacific Ocean. The Santa Monica Mountains stretch east to west across Los Angeles and Ventura counties. Now, it's completely surrounded by heavily populated cities and communities, but much of the mountains in the middle and that whole area remains completely undeveloped. The National Park Service describes the landscape as steep, rugged mountain slopes, canyons, elevations which range from all the way down to sea level, all the way up to more than 3,000 feet. And much of the mountainsides themselves are really unhikeable. You really do have to stay on the paths or the trails. Otherwise, it can get quite dangerous. There's a lot of thick vegetation. There's a lot of rock and a lot of rock which can be loose. And there's a lot of sage scrub. That terrain is very important when considering Matthew's disappearance out there. From a ridgeline, visibility can extend for miles, but you can only travel a short distance down a slope, and that landscape changes dramatically. One of the interesting things that I took note of is during an interview, one of Matthew's family members said that right off the bat, right away, that early morning hours when Matthew was first determined to have gone missing right after his car was found, search and rescue did bring out helicopters to search for Matthew, but it was still dark, so they were using spotlights. But they question the validity of that or if that is even useful because there's so much brush and hiding spots that it would be very easy to miss a person in that brush, in that vegetation. She, at the time, believed that they had come out with infrared technology to kind of search and maybe see if there was a person out there in that terrain. But she would later learn that they were actually just flying around in the helicopter using spotlights and they were not using infrared technology. Much to her family's dismay later. Now, Matthew's movements that morning would take him through a network of winding mountain roads, which included Stunt Road, Saddle Peak Road, and Schwerin Road. And really the important thing to know if you're not from the area is that these roads all connect and they kind of all lead to different trails and overlooks. Eventually, his BMW was recorded traveling along Topanga Tower Motorway toward the Roses Overlook, which is a dirt road, a path. And when his car was found, it was actually found with one tire off the path, kind of hanging off the side. This is not a path that's wide enough for a car to drive. It's not made for a car to drive down. It's a very odd, unusual place for a car to be. The Santa Monica Mountains National Recreation Area encompasses more than 150,000 acres. That's a lot of land to search, but the National Park Service itself actually only owns and manages a portion of that land. Now, one of the most important landmarks near Matthew's last known location is the Backbone Trail. This trail is about 67 miles, which stretches across the Santa Monica Mountains, connecting areas near Los Angeles with the western end of the mountain range. The National Park Service describes this entire route, this entire trail, as being moderately difficult and notes that there are considerable elevation changes encountered along it. But the Backbone isn't the only trail. There's actually more than 500 miles of public trails throughout this entire mountain region. A lot of these trails are relatively easy paths, and there's a few that are considered difficult, steep mountain routes. The Santa Monica Mountains as a whole are extremely popular with visitors. In 2018, the year Matthew disappeared, there was approximately 867,000 recorded visits, but the Park Service does say that that is not a total picture as they can only count people entering the park and leaving the park from certain areas. So especially locals like Matthew, who knew all these back roads, all these side roads, and who knew the area like the back of his hand, could easily get in and out of this area without being considered part of that 867,000. But it is an area where somebody could easily disappear. Someone who becomes injured or ends up a relatively short distance from a trail could be potentially concealed by terrain and vegetation. And if they are unable to call out and ask for help in any way, it is possible that they could have remained hidden from searchers. That makes an accidental fall, an injury, or becoming lost, or all of the above, very geographically possible in this region. But it also creates another possibility that investigators have considered in the search for Matthew. The isolation of the location could also provide privacy from someone who doesn't want to be seen, from someone who wants to hide. Take Anthony Rauta, for instance, the man who was accused of murdering Tristan Boudette, along with other crimes out there. This is a man who lived off the grid, so to speak, in that region, in hiding, for a very long time until he was caught. Theories and possibilities. So what happened to Matthew Weaver? Well, there's no shortage of theories in this case, and unusually, there are pieces of evidence that seem to point in very different directions. So let's discuss them all. Theory number one, an accident in the mountains. Now, This might be perhaps the simplest explanation based on the fact that his BMW was found in the way that it was. That area around Rosas Overlook, Hondo Canyon, and the Backbone Trail is very rugged. Steep slopes, thick vegetation, places where someone could fall and become difficult to see from a trail or even from the air, or maybe even impossible to see. There's also another factor here. Matthew had been up all night, it seems, hanging out the night before with his new friend, Melissa. And there were stories that they were possibly doing drugs. That could play a huge role in what's happening here. If he left his vehicle exhausted, impaired, confused, or disoriented, he might have wandered off into the canyon. An accidental death out there is extremely possible. And despite the extensive searches, finding someone in that terrain is not guaranteed. But there are details that make a straightforward accident kind of harder to reconcile with, in Matthew's case at least. And that important detail involves Matthew's strange final text messages. At around 11:48 a.m., he sent those weird messages to Melissa, kind of indicating that something crazy was happening and that he really wanted to talk to her while he had the chance. Those messages sound as though Matthew believed something was happening around him. And then there's those screams that reportedly were heard later that night by those hikers. Now, this kind of leans into theory number two, which is definitely related to theory number one, and that is sleep deprivation, drugs, or a medical crisis. Now, Matthew certainly could have had just an accident on his own, an accident driving, a car accident of sorts. Maybe it was dark out. But maybe drugs, sleep deprivation, or a medical crisis played into it. There are accounts of possible cocaine usage or marijuana. And if Matthew had stayed awake all night under the influence of drugs and experiencing those after effects, his behavior Friday morning could certainly and would likely have been affected. Perhaps there was no outside threat or outside meaning behind those strange text messages he sent. Maybe it was all just in his head. He could have become paranoid, confused, or frightened and left his BMW, maybe believing that there was something or someone that he needed to get away from. If he then wandered off into the mountains, this theory eventually merges with that accident theory. If that is what led him out there, and then he had an accident. Now, because Matthew has never been found, there's no toxicology report to go on here. We're going on simply the word of his friends and the friends specifically that he was with that night. We don't know for sure what substances, if any, were still affecting him when he entered the mountains that morning. So while drugs and exhaustion might provide context for his behavior, they might lend us some explanations, they don't tell us what happened to him exactly. Theory number three, Matthew intentionally disappeared. Now, another possibility considered in almost every unexplained disappearance is that the person deliberately left. Matthew had been experiencing some changes in his life right before he vanished. He had recently moved. He had ended a relationship with a long-term girlfriend, and he had apparently picked up a new group of friends. All of this could lead some people to wonder whether Matthew entered the mountains intending not to return. But again, there are problems with this theory too. For one, Matthew has never been found. How has he kept himself hidden out there if that is his intention? And his final messages don't clearly read as a goodbye. Instead, they appear to suggest that something was actively happening and that maybe he was actually looking for help, not necessarily the text messages of somebody who is planning on disappearing. And of course, the biggest opponent to this theory is his family, who has said that the Matthew they know and love would never just go off into the mountains so sporadically like that. But still, without knowing Matthew's state of mind that morning and not knowing what happened or where he is, it's something that we cannot completely rule out either. Theory number four, Matthew encountered somebody out there in the mountains. Now, this is where the case could become a lot more unsettling and eerie, even. What if Matthew's messages meant exactly what they appeared to mean? What if something really was happening to him out there? He had been near Rose's Overlook or kind of driving through that area for several hours before sending that final message. His BMW reached that area around 7:28 that morning, but that concerning text wasn't sent to Melissa until closer to noon. So this leaves several hours in which we don't know what Matthew was doing, who he may have encountered, was he with somebody, and he maybe even just pulled over and fallen asleep. We just don't know. Then, after midnight, approximately 13 hours now after Matthew's final communication, someone near Rose's Overlook reportedly hears cries for help, startling them enough that they called 911. Now, we've never been able to say for certain that the person screaming was Matthew, or that there was even a person screaming. Could the person who called 911 have been mistaken? What were they doing up in the mountains at 1 o'clock in the morning? It's certainly a witness that was deemed credible by authorities, at least credible enough that they launched a full-scale search right away for somebody out there. But it's also kind of an odd detail in the disappearance of Matthew Weaver. Theory number five, the Malibu Creek shooter. There is another reason the possibility of foul play in Matthew's case does receive some attention. Matthew disappeared during an extremely disturbing period in the Santa Monica Mountains. Remember, it was just June 22nd, 2018, only 7 weeks before Matthew disappeared, when Tristan Boudette was shot and killed while camping with his two young daughters at Malibu Creek State Park. Could Matthew also have encountered Anthony Rauda? Given everything that we just discussed about the shootings occurring in these mountains, Rauda inevitably has to become a part of the conversation too. He was believed to have been living out there in the wilderness during that same time frame. But there is an important thing to note with this theory. Aside from the timing and the general location kind of matching up, there is absolutely no publicly known evidence that would place Rauda near Matthew or even connecting him to Matthew's disappearance in any way. So this remains a possibility raised because of the extraordinary circumstances, maybe even we could call them coincidences, occurring in the mountains at that time, but it's not a theory that is supported by direct evidence. Theory number six, someone else picked Matthew up. Now there's one small piece of evidence that makes this possibility particularly interesting. And that is those search dogs, those tracking dogs that were reportedly used in the first days after Matthew went missing. Now, according to accounts from Matthew's family, they were initially told that the dogs followed Matthew's scent in one direction. But later, they were told that the scent led to the middle of a roadway when the scent abruptly ended. Now, we don't know what story is accurate. The family claims to have been told two different versions. But if Matthew's scent really did terminate abruptly at the road, especially in the middle of the road, one possibility would be that he got into another vehicle. Maybe Matthew did walk out into the middle of the road and hopped into someone else's car. And that could have easily happened voluntarily. Maybe Matthew had encountered someone that he knew out there, or maybe his car had kind of crashed in that odd location that it did, and he walked back to the roadway and someone offered him a ride. Although it's important to note also, there's no evidence of that, and no one has ever come forward to state that they saw Matthew walking anywhere in or around that area. Unanswered questions. The biggest unanswered questions in Matthew Weaver's case are less about one single clue and more about the gaps in between what we do know. Why did Matthew go to Rose's Overlook that morning? Was it simply because it was an area that he liked? It was a beautiful mountain region, an area that he liked to drive around. Maybe he was feeling some kind of way. Maybe he was feeling unsettled and he just wanted to go out there. What did he mean by crazy going on? And while I have the chance, what did those text messages mean? Did they have actual literal meaning? Or was Matthew being paranoid? Or was he maybe just trying to even provoke an answer or a response from Melissa? Were those screams heard after midnight actually Matthew? And if so, was there a woman with him? Remember, those that called in the screams said they heard a man's voice and a woman's voice. What exactly did first responders encounter when they arrived? Now, this is an important question because the family has stated that they were never able to get a lot of information from search and rescue and from the authorities regarding what they did encounter or what they were doing in those initial days in the search for Matthew. And they have never made a public report stating what exactly they walked into. While this could be an innocent detail, it could also raise a few eyebrows. Why were Matthew's keys found months later, only about 25 feet from where his BMW was? Why hadn't they been found earlier? Had they even been there earlier? Was Matthew already in danger when he sent those text messages to Melissa around noon that day? Or did whatever happened to him occur many hours later, around the same time the screams were heard? There's a big chunk of unanswered questions in the middle of that. His last known communication being noon, and then the screams being heard after midnight, the screams which would ultimately lead search and rescuers to Matthew's car. Was that a coincidence? And then, of course, the biggest question of all that we are still asking to this day, did Matthew ever leave those mountains? Or is he still somewhere out there? So what do you think happened to Matthew Weaver Jr.? Matthew Jonathan Weaver Jr. was 21 years old when he disappeared from the Santa Monica Mountains near Malibu, California on August 10th, 2018. Matthew is described as a white male, approximately 5 foot 9 inches tall, and weighing around 150 pounds when he was last seen. He has brown hair and brown eyes. He also has several distinctive tattoos, including the name Jeremiah across his chest, a rose on his left hand, and additional tattoos on his arms. When Matthew was last seen, he was believed to be wearing black Dickies pants, a white t-shirt, red shoes, and a red Los Angeles Angels baseball cap. Now remember, the family believes that they have found that baseball cap and that white t-shirt. Matthew's silver BMW was found abandoned and possibly crashed on the side of Topanga Tower Motorway near Roses Overlook in an area where cars should not be. But Matthew has never been found. If you have any information about Matthew Weaver Jr.'s disappearance, even something that might seem insignificant, please contact the Los Angeles Police Department Missing Persons Unit at 213-996-1800. You can also contact the LAPD's 24-hour tip line at 877-ASK-LAPD. After all these years, someone may still have that piece of information that helps explain what happened to Matthew. And his family needs answers. They deserve answers. Please share Matthew's story any way you can. You never know who might recognize a detail, remember something that they've forgotten, or just help get this case in front of the right person. Somebody out there might have that missing puzzle piece, that missing link that could lead to answers, that could lead to Matthew. Be sure to follow the Where Are They podcast on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. I regularly post case updates, breaking news, and any additional information that might not always be included in the episodes. I would also love to hear your thoughts. There will be a Q&A thread for this episode over on Facebook. So if you do have any questions, observations, or theories, or something that you want to talk more about regarding Matthew's disappearance, post them over there on that thread. Next week, I will work on uncovering those answers in a special Q&A episode available exclusively to our Patreon members and podcast subscribers. If you have a missing person case that you'd like me to cover, maybe a missing person from your hometown, maybe somebody that you feel needs more media attention, or if you have any feedback at all about the podcast, I'd love to hear from you. You can email me anytime at canwefindthem@gmail.com. You can also reach out anytime via the socials. If you'd like to help us continue covering these overlooked missing person cases and helping us help the families of the missing, consider joining our Patreon community. Membership over there starts at just $3 a month, and your support directly helps us research these cases, create these new episodes, keep these stories in the public eye, and most importantly, helps us pay it forward to the families of the missing. It is extremely expensive to have a missing person in your family. As a Patreon member, you will also receive our episodes early, completely ad-free, as well as our exclusive bonus content. Finally, I want to give a big thank you to newspapers.com for providing access to their incredible archive of historical newspapers. Their extensive database has become an invaluable research tool, helping us uncover forgotten details and provide a lot deeper context for these stories that we do share. Any of you who finds themselves going deep down the rabbit hole, as I do, you have to check out their newspaper archives. I'll put the link in the show notes. Again, thank you so much for tuning in today and listening to the story of Matthew Weaver Jr. He has been missing since 2018. Far, far too long. This family needs answers now. We will be back again very soon with another unsolved missing persons story. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.